If you have your Bibles, I want you to turn to John chapter 9. John chapter 9. If I think about just today's title, I've called it The Urgency of Today. And we've been talking about the power of today. We've been talking about just what it means to walk in Him today. We started in a series in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, 1 through 3. Working together with Him, we urge you not to receive the grace of God in vain. For He says, at the acceptable time, I listened to you, and on the day of salvation, I helped you. And then He says this, behold, now's the acceptable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. We saw in Hebrews a couple of weeks ago that today, if you hear His voice, do not harden your heart. Do not walk in disobedience. Do not walk in unbelief. Just as they did, and they missed all that God had for them. They missed the promised land. They missed freedom. They missed life. Instead, they lived for 40 years in the wilderness until that generation died off. I think about this passage of Scripture, and I'm going to read just verses 1 through 8. We're really going to deal mostly with 4 and 5. But notice what it says. As he passed by, he saw a man blind from birth. And his disciples asked him, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he would be born blind? And Jesus answered, it was neither that this man sinned nor his parents, but it was so that the works of God might be displayed in him. You know, it's amazing to me how we can live in a land or live in a time where we run after all these issues in life and miss the main issue. To ask a question like this, it might be fair, but Jesus just says, look, it's neither. It's for the glory of God. And the glory of God's going to happen. And I'm afraid that we live in, a season where we're just running after these controversial things in Christian life, and we're missing the main thing. Because notice what he says. Verse 4, we must work the works of Him who sent me as long as it is day. As long as you're alive. As long as I'm here, Jesus is saying. And you look at the context of this passage, the day is your time. It's your opportunity. It's your calling. It's while you are alive. That's the daytime. Now watch. Night is coming when no one can work. What's that? That's the end of life. That's Jesus going back to be with the Father, where the physical manifested presence of the Son of God is no longer, except now through the body of Christ. It's an urgency here. We got to keep working the works of God because night is coming. There'll be a day when it's too late. It's a day when you die and you leave unfinished business, the business of God, and you leave it because you didn't listen to God and you didn't hear God to make the move toward Him, to make the move towards peace, to make the move towards life. And whether it's fear or whether it's unbelief or whether that is there's so many people in life, they don't take care of the business that God says take care of. There are people in your life that you have been offended by and you have not forgiven them. You have not released them. While it's day, do the works of God because night's coming. And it may come for you sooner than you think. It may come tonight, as we see in Scripture. There's an urgency about being right with God, about being right with your family, about being right with a friend, by even trying everything you can to be right with an enemy. Night is coming. Night is coming when it's done. There's nothing else to do, but you're going to go and you're going to stand before God and you're going to give account to everything you did in this body, whether good or bad. Night's coming. It's coming for all of us. Lord willing, those of us in Christ, Jesus will come. And when He comes, night's coming. when you can't do the works of God, where you can't fulfill the promises that you made, where you just let go another day, another week, another month, another year, and you don't let go of what you need to let go, night is coming. Buried a many of people who didn't think the night was coming that day. And it came. And God is my witness, there's so many that were ready when that happened. They were ready. And I want to ask you, are you ready for the night that's coming? Jesus says this. He says, listen, I'm telling you, we got to work the works of him who sent us as long as it's still today. Because when this night comes, you're done. No one else can work. No one else can do these things. And I think about that. I think about that first point here. And I ask the question, what are the works of God? Matter of fact, in John chapter 6, verse 26 and 27, it's on the screen here. Notice what it says. Jesus answered them and said, truly, truly, I say to you, you seek me not because you saw signs, but because you ate of the loaves and were filled. Do not work for the food which perishes. It's incredible, isn't it? That we spend all our life working the works of the flesh. Let me take the context of this really quickly. Jesus has fed 5,000 men and their families with just a few loaves of bread and a few fish. It multiplies. He feeds them all, 5,000 men and their families. It is a powerful witness. And so they're trying to follow him to make him king. And he's saying, listen, you're not following me for right reasons. You're following me because you ate of something that you didn't earn, that you didn't pay for. And you want it to be easy. He said, listen, don't work for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to eternal life, which is the Son of Man will give to you, for on him the God has set his seal. Can you keep going with this for just a moment? Because I've got more of this. And so they ask him in the next verse, well, what are the works of God? Show us, what are we supposed to be doing? And he answered, and he said, this is the work of God. Now watch this, that you believe in him whom he sent. And you can read this and you can think, whew, well, I'm in, I'm fine, I'm good, I'm great. Why? Because when I was 8 years old, I believed him. Or when I was 10, or when I was 15, or when I was 25, or when I was 50, and I don't have to work anymore. No, faith is a work of God. It's a work of God. And when I think about this, I think about this grand thought that God has asked us to believe in him. But it's not something that is just, I'm done back then. I keep on believing. You know, the great John 3:16 passage, I'm going to quote it to you like it's in the way that it's spoken in the Greek. It says that for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Now watch this, that the one who is believing into him will be saved. The one who is believing into him. It's not just a one and done. Oh, you get born again, when you first come to believe, but it's a process, it's a journey, it's a lifestyle where I keep doing this work of faith and believing what he says in his word. Because Jesus is so confident that when I believe who he is and I believe what he's done and I believe who I am in Christ and I believe that he's given me a mission and I walk in that faith, he has the greatest confidence that says that, hey, the things that come after faith are the works of God. That's what makes believing in him the work of God. And so here's the thought, just real quick. If you're believing him and nothing's coming out of your life, you better check what kind of faith you have, because it's not biblical. It's not biblical. God's faith, our faith in him is so powerful that it brings forth an ethic and a work and a fruit that is absolutely, totally, it absolutely sets you free. It's the power of faith. What kind of faith is it that I trust Jesus for my salvation and I keep getting my head beat in the rest of my life by the enemy? Where I don't have fulfillment in my life. Where I can't find satisfaction. I can't find contentment. And I say, well, I believed in Jesus. Oh, really? Did you really believe in him? Did you really put your trust in him? He says, listen, the works of God are to believe in him who he sent. He says it. He says it with such a great conviction. This is the work of God. So the question is if we believe in Jesus, well, what do we believe? Well, first, the work of God is to believe who he is and who he says he is and what he comes to do. If you go back a few pages to John chapter 1, we notice just the setting of the whole Gospel of John. He says, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and apart from him, nothing came into being that's come into being. In him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness will never, ever comprehend it or overcome it. Amen. John is establishing something in this gospel, that Jesus Christ is God in the flesh. Matter of fact, in verse 15, he goes on and he says, and John says this as a personal experience, and he says, verse 14, and the Word became flesh. God became flesh, that's Jesus, the Son of God. He dwelt among us. We saw his glory as of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. We believe, let me tell you, the works of Jesus, the works of God is to believe in a Jesus of who he says he is. And he is God. He is God in the flesh. And then he comes and he does this work. You know, it's interesting. Jesus has this great conversation with the Pharisees and the Jews who do not believe that a man walking is God. Okay? They can't wrap their head around it. That's why they kill him. Because he makes himself to be God. And John 8:58. They were talking about, Jesus was talking about Abraham and how Abraham rejoiced to see his day. And they said, what are you talking about? You're not even 90 years old. You're in your 30s. And Abraham died a long, long time ago. What do you mean Abraham rejoiced to see my day? And he said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am. I am. Sacred name of God. I am. Therefore, they picked up stones to throw at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple. In John 10:10, he says, I am the way, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. Now, I spoke a little bit of this on Wednesday night, and so, but since only about 60 of you are here on Wednesday night, I need to tell you this because it's really important. You're either going to live life wanting to be conformed into the image of Jesus, or wanting Jesus to be conformed into you. You ever hear somebody say, that's not my Jesus? Oh, that's not your Jesus, the Jesus of the Word, the biblical Jesus? That's who we believe. We believe in the biblical Jesus of who he says he is and what he came to do and what he does. If he says he's the only way to the Father, he's the only way to the Father. Amen? Amen. But some people want to make it, they want to make him into their own image and say, oh, wait a minute, that's not the love of God. All religions go to the same thing. No, they do not. No, they do not. If we get this wrong, if we want to live by our heart and the heart that's deceitfully wicked, he said, you're telling me about my heart and you're telling me about that, Mike? Yeah, I am. I'm telling you about you. My heart, apart from Christ in the flesh, is deceitfully wicked. It just is. I in the flesh, just like Paul says, in the flesh, I've got a bent towards sin, a bent to feed my flesh, to walk according to my flesh. I'm no different than you. We all have the same kinds of struggle, and I'm going to either live this God-directed life that believes who Jesus is. If I'm not going to believe who Jesus is and what he says he is and what he comes to do, but it's something different, I've set up an idol of self and say, no, he's supposed to look like us. Well, let me just tell you, he came as a man to go through every trial and temptation that you could ever believe. So he could be the great high priest that comes alongside and say, oh, I've been tempted in that, yet without sin. I've been tempted in that, yet without sin. I've been tempted in that, yet without sin. And I've given you my Holy Spirit, the Spirit of living God, so that when you're tempted, you don't have to walk this way. This is what we believe. This is our faith. We put our faith in Jesus. And what's so wonderful about it, when you begin to do that, you put your faith in that, that is the work. It's called the work of faith. And out of that faith comes a declaration by word and by deed that says, I'm his. The work of God is to believe who he is and what he says he is. The work of God is to believe what he did for us. Go to Romans chapter 5, if you would. Romans chapter 5, verses, we'll look at verses 6 through 11. Powerful, powerful work that Jesus did on the cross. While we were still helpless, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. For one will hardly die for a righteous man, though perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love, watch this, towards us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than having been justified by his blood, we will be saved, watch, from the wrath of God through him. Night's coming. It's coming. And if you don't know Jesus, you're going to walk in the wrath of God. Matter of fact, the wrath of God is already at work. Did you know that? He says that in Romans chapter 1, that the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all those who suppress the truth in ungodliness and ungodly living. I mean, you look at that passage of Scripture and you see how powerful it is. I mean, you think about just the wrath of God, that God gives you over to what you want to walk in the flesh. Night's coming. And today's, while it's day, you have an opportunity to say, no more. I'm not going to walk this way anymore. I'm going to walk in this faith. I'm going to walk in this belief. Because God comes to save you from the wrath of God. Amen. But you got to understand, in Romans chapter 1, it's a heavy piece. He says they exchanged the truth of God for the lie, and they worshiped the creature rather than the creator. They set up idols for themselves. And then they became their own boss, their own lord, and decided, they exchanged the truth of God for the lie. Where the truth of God is, and when you look at this, the truth of God in Genesis, it's, hey, you eat from this tree, you will surely die. And the enemy said, you won't die, you'll be like God, knowing good from evil. You can set up, if you'll eat from this tree, you'll be like him, and you'll be able to say, I know what's right and I know what's wrong. Have you ever heard somebody said, well, that's not my truth? Oh, you got a truth? You got a holy, holy truth that you live by? Or is it just to feed your flesh? I'm telling you, folks, people have exchanged the truth of God for the lie, and God's given them over to the lust of their flesh to do that which is improper. And then he moves into the homosexual piece. Men with men, women with women. And then he says, oh, and then you say, oh, I'm glad I'm not that. Well, then he goes on, he says, hey, there's folks like this, and there's folks like you that disobey your parents, that are angry, that follow after your lusts. We go on and on and on. Because we could always find somebody in our mind that's a whole lot worse than us. And when you do that, I'm just going to say, you're worse than them. Much more, having been now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath of God through him. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only this, we're exulting in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom now we have received the reconciliation. That's what he did. He rescued you, reconciled you to himself, and he moved in your life, and he pulled you out of the pit, and he put you on the rock by the blood of Jesus when you decided that I would believe, where I believed in the finished work of Jesus. Bible says you got saved, you got born again. You got a new nature. It's a powerful thought. If I believe, to believe who he is, that he's God, to believe that he's the Son of God, to believe that he's the one that came, that he's the way, the truth, and the life, to believe what he did for me. And I want to ask you, church, I want to ask you, brethren, I want to ask you, sisters, do you believe that what he did 2,000 years ago, he did for you?
Amen.
Do you remember the hour you first believed? When you believe in him, he called it the works of God. Isn't that something? And he's saying, listen, we got, while it's day, we need to keep working the works of God. It sure does put a whole lot of pressure off of us to think we got to do this and do that and do this and do that. What it does is it says, I'm going to believe him. I'm going to believe who he is. I'm going to believe what he says he's did in my life. And I'm going to believe who I am in him, what we're going to see in just a moment. And then we let life flow out of that. Because if I'm not, I'm going to say this again, if I'm not living by faith, every work that I do is a dead work. Because it's not by faith. We must work the works of God while it's still day, because night is coming when no one will be able to work again. The work of God is to believe who he is. He's the Son of God. He's God himself. He became flesh. He dwelt among us. He's the way, the truth, and the life. No man can come to the Father but by him. This work of God is to believe what he did for you, Romans 5, what we just saw. And the work of God is to believe who God says you are and what you will be. Go to 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3, this is kind of the where we camped out on Wednesday. I don't have time to camp out here. Maybe another day. It's really important, but I want you to see what God says about us. And the question is, are you going to believe it? Because when you believe this, my word, it's the works of God. And you're going to see the works come out of your life, as we see in this passage. See how great a love the Father has bestowed upon us that we would be called the children of God. Now watch this. And such we are. God called you when you came to faith, the son, the daughter of God. And we are that. Now for this reason, the world does not know us because it did not know him. I want to ask you a question. Does the world know you? Do you walk with the world? Do you talk the way the world talks? He says, the world doesn't know you. And if it doesn't know you, it's not going to love you. And Jesus said that. He said, look, if you're trying to find, get the world to love you, you're in a bad place. Youth, let me tell you, you're looking for somebody to love you. You're looking for the world to love you. You're in a bad place. My Bible says that the world does not know you because they did not know him. This is a mark of the believer. This is the mark of Jesus. This is the fruit of Jesus. We live a different life. And let me tell you, night's coming. It's coming. And it's still day right now for everyone in this room. And while it's day, let's keep working the works of God because night's coming. when your life is over and there's no more work to do, and the work you were supposed to do and you didn't do, maybe, again, because you didn't believe, maybe because you were fearful, worried, all that other stuff, what other people are going to think about you, and you missed him. That's why he says, and I love the way Jesus says it, let us work the works of God. He's inviting us in to work with him. Not on your own. Not by yourself. Beloved, now we're children of God. You know that about your life? I'm a son of God. I'm a son. I'm a daughter of God. I'm so grateful that he saved me, that he delivered me, that I'm born again. Didn't stop there. Folks, do I expect my baby, my healthy baby that comes that first day to grow healthy to 6 months? Yeah. 12 months, 5-year-old, 10-year-old, right? 40-year-old. I think we err when we don't preach the standard of God and have an expectation that God's going to fulfill that. Have you ever seen a 40-year-old man? Well, I don't know if I could say this now because it's so strange, but a 40-year-old man carrying a bottle around in diapers. Well, you might see that today because... because I identify as a baby. You're not a baby. Don't tell me I'm not a baby. Goes both ways. No, we grow into men and women of the Word that says we are going to follow him and we're going to give up what we're called to give up, and we're not going to be held in the bondage of some idol out there. No, we are children of God. And yeah, we're not there yet. But watch this. It's not appeared what we will be. Watch this. What yet we'll be. But we know that when he appears, we will be like him. Doesn't that sound great? Doesn't that sound great to be like Jesus? I mean, that's the promise. And when I believe that, I'm doing the works of God. I'm believing the works of God. I love what Jesus said to a blind man. He says, hey, what do you want me to do for you? And he said, I want to receive my faith. He said, go, let it be done according to your faith. Yes. I want to look at this and say, oh, I believe this. And I want to hear God say, let it be done according to your faith. Because that's who I am. I'm the firstborn among many brethren. I'm the firstborn. And everybody that comes after me looks like me. In character and in ministry. There's some denominations that say we're going to be like Jesus, so we're never going to get married. Now, that's not what he meant. Please. God designed a man not to be alone. Amen, men? Amen. Yeah, stand up and worship. I'll create a helpmate suitable for him. I love what God says. And what God says, I want to believe it. Because when I believe it, I'm doing the works of God. But when I'm walking in unbelief, be sure that I will not walk in obedience. I will walk in disobedience, just like we saw a couple of weeks ago. Now watch. This is what we become. And this is what he says. Look, this is why. Verse 4. Everyone who practices sin also practices lawlessness. And sin is lawlessness. You know that he appeared in order to take away sins. And in him there is no sin. If you abide in Jesus, you stop the sinning. Now I'm going to say this. It's really important. He's talking about practicing sin. Making it it's a part of your lifestyle. Okay? It's something that you keep doing over and over and over without any thought of what God wants to do in your life. And so I'm going to read it to you as it is in the literal. He says, look, if anyone sins, Wait, I'm sorry. Everyone who practices sin also practices lawlessness. You know that he appeared in order to take away sins, and in him there's no sin. And no one who abides in him sins, and no one who has seen him, who sins or keeps on sinning has seen him or known him. Little children, make sure no one deceives you. The one who practices righteousness is just as he's righteous. And the one who practices sin is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning, and the Son of God appeared for this purpose, to destroy the works of the devil. No one who's been born of God practices sin, because his seed abides in him, and he cannot, watch this, cannot keep on walking in that sin. It's the promise of freedom. The promise of reconciliation. If you're in Christ, you can't keep doing that. You can't keep doing that because he's been born of God. By this, the children of God and the children of the devil are obvious. Anyone who does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor the one who does not love his brother. For this is the message we heard from the beginning, that we would love one another. Not as Cain, who was of the evil one and slew his brother. And for what reason did he slay him? Because his deeds were evil, and his brothers were righteous. Hey, brethren, don't be surprised if the world hates you. We know that we have passed out of death into life because we love the brethren. He who does not love abides in death. What's he saying? Am I going to believe that I'm a child of God, and because I'm a child of God, I'm the son of the living God, I'm going to be like him, I'm going to purify myself as he is pure, and I will, and by the way I live, by keeping his word, I will distinguish myself from the rest of the world, because I'm practicing his righteousness and I'm loving. The Bible says that you've been saved by grace through faith, Ephesians 2:9. Not as a result of works, so that no one would boast. Say, well, wait a minute. What are the works of God? The works of God is just faith. It's just believing. This faith, we're saved alone. But this faith doesn't stand alone. It has a work that comes out of it. Watch this. It's the work of Jesus. It's the works of God. And he says, let's do these works while it's still day, because night is coming. Night's coming. Folks, we talked about a couple weeks ago, he's given everything you need to live godly life. He's given you his word. He's given you life. He's given you these things. And I'm just going to say this. When we talk about the works of God, when we talk about faith, what does that mean? It's like Jesus. I become more like him. I become blameless. I become loving. I become more kind. I become a blessing. I'm one who brings peace, not chaos. I love. I give. I give, I worship, I sacrifice, because I'm going to tell you this. Your lack of work in the kingdom of God, your lack of giving, your lack of repentance is a lack of faith. That's what it is. And the night is coming when no man can work. So what does that mean? Well, think about it. Light as in the days of Moses. Noah. The Bible says that Noah was a preacher of righteousness. While he was building the ark, he was proclaiming the word. He was proclaiming warning, and he was showing warning. God, in his marvelous ways, although men could not understand it, he was building a boat in the middle of nowhere like someone would build it in the middle of Arizona. It don't make sense. What in the world? But he's preaching righteousness, which means he's preaching faith, because the Old Testament says that a man is, that the righteous live by faith. More literally, the righteous one by faith will live. That's the literal. In other words, the righteous one by works will not live, but the righteous one by faith, he's the one that lives. So he's preaching righteousness. He's preaching faith. And they're not heeding the warning, and that's day. And the night comes when he's finished, and everybody's on board. And the last animal or the last person that's in that, the door is shut, and the night comes. Where no one can work, no one can repent, no one can believe. No one can share faith with their family. No one can forgive that brother, that sister, that dad, that mom. Night's coming. And while it's still day, we've got to make things right. Because that's who we are. Or one day it's going to shut, and it may shut on you more. And it may not be the whole thing is over, but we'll shut the coffin. And everything God asks you to do that we hadn't done, you'll not be able to do. That's why he says today, if you hear his voice, don't harden his heart, your heart. Because the door could shut and miss out on the opportunity. Now what, I want to tell you this because it's really, really important that you hear me. Listen, I'm talking warning today as your pastor, but I'm also talking assurance because every warning passage has an assurance to it. That today I can be sure of my life with him, of becoming what he's called me to be, because I'm still alive. And if you're not dead, he's not done. But I want to say what Jesus says. And he says, while it's day, let's keep working the works of God. Think about light when Sodom and Gomorrah and Lot's son-in-laws were warned, and they dismissed it as a joke. You crazy. Ha, ha, ha. And then night came, and fire and sulfur came. And there's a place that you can find the sulfur. It's all over that place. When the judgment of God came on Sodom and Gomorrah. Do you remember what Abraham said? Lord, if there's just 50 people, will you spare it? Yeah, I'll spare it. Well, I can't find 50. What about 40? What about 30? What about 10? I can't find 10. The greatest warnings in Scripture have the ability and the power to be the greatest assurance. Because we're going to get things right. We're going to do what God says while it's light. It was light when Judas heard the voice of God, saw the works of Jesus, but was a thief. He had such an opportunity. But in the night, he rejected. Jesus rejected Jesus. Darkness came upon him. He betrays him, and he hangs himself, and he missed the invitation. Luke 12, 16 through 21 on the screen. He told them a parable. The land of a rich man was very productive. And he began reasoning with himself, what shall I do since I have no place to store my crops? Give them away! You don't have any place to store it? So what I'll do is I'll tear down my barns and I'll build larger ones, and there I'll store all my grain and all my goods. You know, I know a lot of you come far away, and you've passed lots of churches to be here. But you know what else you passed? People, storage units. Man, they're everywhere. People storing our stuff. Storing it. I mean, they're everywhere. You probably passed five. I mean, they're right now in the middle of nowhere. They're like the country. Like a country church. It's a country storing unit. I'll tear down my barns. I'll build larger ones, and there I'll store all my grain and all my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years to come. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry. It's daytime. Has every opportunity to be rich toward God. To give, to love. To sponsor mission. Sponsor evangelism. To fill more than just one food pantry. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, "You fool, this very night your soul is required of you. And now, who will own what you have prepared? So is the man who stores up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God." Here's the light. Every opportunity to do good, every opportunity to love, every opportunity to forgive, every opportunity to make things right, everything opportunity to receive the grace of God, every opportunity to walk by the Spirit, every opportunity to hear the Spirit, every opportunity to be a part of the church, to give your giftedness. It's the light. It's the day. Let's work the works while it's still day, because night's coming. You know, I gotta say this because it's really, really important. Night doesn't just mean if you die. Well, wasn't one in that chapel, we started growing. We had folks who'd come, and we used to do invitation back then, and I'd see people just hold out, cry, and never move on with God. And they'd walk out, and I wouldn't see them again. And then maybe a year later, 2 years, come back. You know, the Bible says, if you have a hard heart and you hear the word and your heart's hardened, you're in the light, right? It's day. But the birds of the field come and take that seed, and you forget what you heard. That's night. That's night. And you go year after year, decade after decade, and remember the commitment you made as a child, and you didn't walk in it. And now you're in your 60s and your 70s, and you might be successful, and that's great. But are you successful in Jesus? Luke 19, 41 through 44. Please watch it on the screen. I want to finish up, not with this one, but with the next one. When he approached Jerusalem, he saw the city, and he wept over it, saying, "If you had known this day, even you, the things which make for peace, but now they have been hidden from your eyes." Night came. Night came. "If you had known this day, even the things that make for peace, but now they've been hidden from your eyes." Verse 43, "For the days will come upon you when your enemies will throw up a barricade against you, surround you, hem you in on every side. And they will level you to the ground and your children within you. And they will not leave in you one stone upon the other, because you did not recognize the time of your visitation." It's daytime, folks. The sun's still shining. It's the season of divine opportunity. If you heard the voice of God anytime in your life, and you've said no to it, and now God's stirring it back up, it's now to get out of here, not right now, but in a moment, and go run and do what God's asked you to do. Because today, while it's day, it's a divine opportunity. It's a divine opportunity. It's the place of grace when men and women can respond to the gospel. It's our time, the span of our lives, when we can respond to Him, love Him, repent of sins, make things right, move with Him, and respond to all that He has for us. Because the night's coming, when we pass into judgment, when we no longer can work the works of God, the end of opportunity is when judgment comes. We're on God's sovereign clock. You are on God's sovereign clock. For some of us in here, we may be in the 11th hour. We may be quarter to 12, midnight. Some of us might have 10 years, 15 years, 20 years, 50, 60, 70, 80 years. What are you going to do with it while it's still day? Are you going to halt between two opinions? Are you going to walk with the world, party with the world, walk with the world, live like the world, or am I going to live like Christ the rest of my life? Listen, I'm hoping that Tucker will be able to see the promise he made when he said, "Yes, I'll follow Jesus all the days of my life. While it's still day, I'll work the works of God." You know, I really believe that sometimes opportunity is presumed as endless. Always got tomorrow. And your opportunity is not endless. I've seen people die, stubbornly die, and not forgive. Where they go. And then they die. And now it's night. You want that to be your eternity? Eternity separated from God? Out of the presence of God, where there's gnashing of teeth, where fire consumes but doesn't consume. While it's still day, let's work the works of God. That's the commitment. That's the promise. That's the empowerment. That's what God wants to do to use us for the glory of God. Now, I can't tell you what that might look for you. It might look different. It probably won't look like me. But God has gifted every single one of you with the fruits of the Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit. And you've got a gift to work it. And you got to discover it. You know, and it's not far from the passions of your life that God comes and he transforms them when you come to Jesus. I got to ask my question, do I have a love for God? Do I have a love for his word? Do I have a love for his church? Do I have a love for the people of God? Do I even have a love for my enemies? That says, oh God, except for the grace of God, there go I. And somebody told me about you. And I'd like to tell them about you while it's still day, while it's still their day. You may be here today, and the question is will you come while the sun has not set yet? Will you make a commitment today that whatever God's asking you to do, and you know what it is, I don't have to tell you what it is, you know what it is, to work the works of God. Where love comes forth, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, these fruits come out. And you begin to share the gospel, and you begin to share faith, and you begin to walk in the reconciling ministry that God's called you to be a reconciler, to bring peace. Oh, please, don't wait till it's too late. Bow with me in prayer. Would you do that? It's daytime. It is day. Your night might come today. It may come tonight. It may come tomorrow. It may come in a week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks. Is your life in order? And your life will be in order when you're simply doing what you know you need to be doing. What you need to be believing and what you need to be doing. Let's do the works of God. Jesus says it again, let us. Jesus is the head of the body. We're members of one another, all gifted. Will you put your yes on the altar today while it's still day? Because night's coming. Night is coming. Please, don't leave one stone unturned. If you don't know the Lord, if you've been refusing to believe him and walk in him, today's your day, because it's day. If God has told you and said, look, you got to forgive your dad. I'm going to give you the power. You say, my dad's dead. You still have to forgive him. Quit being defined by your hate, by your unforgiveness. It's time to stop that sexual sin, that impurity. It's daytime. It's daytime, but night's coming. Lord, I thank you that it's still day. And we have such opportunity to follow you and to love you and to bless you and to grow in you, to love your word, to raise our sons, our daughters in the way of the Lord Jesus Christ, not to wait another day to speak life into them. As husbands, it's daytime. We can love our wives like Christ loved the church. Live with them in an understanding way. Honor them. It's still today, wives, that you can be to your husbands as you are to the Lord, to see to that you respect them and to love them affectionately. It's still day. Let's work the works of God. And oh God, would you empower us to do just that? I pray that today, Lord. I pray for a visitation in our hearts to get things right. Right now with you, so that we walk out of this place today unoffendable. Unoffendable people. Because it's day. Let us work the works of God. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.